It's the Brouhaha Podcast with Steve Jackson and Mark Carpenter.
The Drive Hop Monk Brouhaha. Okay, let's go live to Portugal for some reason. Herlinda's there. Hello, Darren. Where in Portugal are you? Where?
I am in Aveiro. Is this coming in okay?
I think so.
Okay. I'm sure Mike will tell me. I am in Aveiro, Portugal, about 45 minutes south of Porto, where they have all the luscious port. And I'm here for the fourth time to judge the Iberian Beer Awards. Iberian with a double E. And
what is Iberian?
So the Iberian Peninsula is like Spain, Portugal, the Basque Country, Andorra. And this is the first dedicated beer awards on the Iberian Peninsula. And so Portugal and Spain, of course, have always been known for their wine and their port. I'm actually a big fan of their gin now as well, too. But they have a very great emerging craft beer market, which is really cool, too, because, like, you know, I was in China in November. And, you know, Puerto Rico and, you know, and Portugal and Spain. And while beer sales have gone down a little bit in America, these other countries with the emerging beer markets are really, you know, they're super interested in, like, doing craft beer. They want to emulate California breweries, et cetera. So it's really fun. But then, of course, the Spanish and the Portuguese also know flavor.
I always thought Portugal made some great beers. Is that not? Is that just a new thing or what?
It's fairly new for them. They've always done the port. You know, like how I judge the Polish national beer competition. That Poland has been doing beers for years because of Prussia. And, you know, Germany, you know, their borders have melded and changed so many times with all the wars they've been through, but they have a long beer tradition. But Porto and Portugal, which is why they call it port, because of Portugal, has a long time wine and port, which is, you know, fortified with spirits type of wine.
Yeah,
so it's pretty interesting. So, you know, they definitely know flavor and they're also the nicest people. And when I first started coming here 4 years ago, not that many Americans were coming to Portugal, and now everybody's coming. Like, Lisbon's, like, talking about, like, putting the brakes on having, like, you know, like, as many numbers of tourists coming into Lisbon. So where I'm at up north, Porto is, it's calm, it's on the water, it's gorgeous. You walk across the bridge and there's Grams and Fonseca and Sandeman, and you go there and then for like €8 you could taste, which is about maybe not even $9, you can taste like 8 different types of port with fantastic hospitality and jamón, you know the ham. And it's very inexpensive, a great place to come. And but then I'm 45 minutes north in a non-touristy area in Aveiro, which is called the Venice of Portugal. So it's got the canals. It's right on the ocean. They have salt flats where they got the salts and things from as well. But I wanted to tell you something, too. So Kevin Verstreppen, who's coming in, the PhD yeast scientist, I met him in Shanghai at the Chinese Brewer Awards, and that's when I invited him to come on the show. And I think Mark's going to, like he's going to love this. But when Vinny heard that I had invited Kevin to come on, he's like, that would be good. I think I might pop in that day.
Yes, and he did. And they're both in the green room ready to go on for the drive. What time is it in Portugal right now?
It is 1 a.m.
Oh, that's nothing.
Early for you.
Yeah. Herlinda, still on the phone from Portugal.
Hello.
Okay, what's going on?
Okay, so a couple things. The Iberian Awards have judges from 13 different countries here to judge these, Portuguese and Spanish and Basque beers. And but also, I have a surprise friend here who knows Mark, and wanted to say hello to him. I've got Alex Barlow, who is a brewer. He's one of the judges with me. He has a beer sommelier school in Yorkshire. and a few different things, but he was like talking about Mark, you know, like the first time he met him, and just like you could tell, like he was about to like just. It looked like he was about to cry, and I was about to cry. Okay.
Was it that bad that he was going to cry?
You want to say hello, Alex, to Mark?
Hi, Mark. Good evening.
Now get him closer to your phone.
Yeah, a little closer. But hi, Alex. How are you doing?
Hi, Mark. You probably don't remember, but I remember like it was yesterday. This was 10 years ago. I came over with my family. I'm a Brit from the UK. I had a book in a stripy beer bag, and you gave me a one-person tour around
the brewery. I remember. And I hope you enjoyed the tour.
It was absolutely fantastic. I was talking to Helinda about it earlier on tonight, and it was making the hairs on the back of my neck stand on end. All so right. it was very important to me, and I think as any lover of great craft beer, you know, it was a bit like a pilgrimage.
Ah, very good. You know, you're listening to your voice. You sound incredibly like the Michael Jackson, the beer writer. He was a good friend, and I don't think it's just the accent. I think you really do sound like him.
I think I'm sporting his beard right now. You can't see it, but I'm sporting his beard, but definitely not his hair.
Okay. Well, very good.
Yeah, and I loved Thriller from him.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes. You got multi-talented.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't claim credit for that, but I brew a few good beers in credit to what you guys have done at Anchor anyway.
Dude, thank you so much, and be careful of her, Linda.
Hey, listen, when do you guys? You haven't started judging yet, have you?
We know each other well enough for me to know when to back off. Yeah.
Have you guys started judging yet?
Thank you.
We have an early start. We're getting bussed in at 9 a.m. tomorrow. So it's not too many hours sleep for us now. But
then the hard work begins.
We'll be eager for it. Yeah, the hard work starts.
Yeah.
All right, we got to roll. Thank you, sir, so much. And Herlinda, thank you. Okay, the drive, Hot Mug, Brouhaha. Yeah. We have a yeast expert, or do we have two yeast experts?
Two. It's two.
All right. Vinny Chilurzo, a Drive Hall of Famer, and our lovely friend from Russian River Brewing is in. And explain, when you heard these guys were going to be in town, you really wanted to hang with them.
We have a mutual friend from Belgium, and he's the brewmaster at Duvel, which is a well-known Belgian brewery. So I figured that if, you know, I didn't know him personally, but that we would get along well. And we've been out wine tasting today.
Apparently you have gotten along well.
I think Kevin just got coined the king of yeast. Was
all right.
That's a police song, isn't it?
King of Yeast. Yeah. Right. So there's a big yeast symposium in Sonoma County.
Really?
This week, wine and beer together. So it's the it's the American Society of Brewing Chemists and the American Society for Enology and Viticulture. So wine and beer together.
Wow, where's this going?
It's down at Ronner Park at the Oxford Hotel, right there across the street from the casino. And so it's over 100 people and some of the world experts. And
open to the public?
If you paid, you could have. Yeah, so tomorrow's the last day.
Oh, okay.
There's been seminars. It's all industry stuff. And Kevin was the keynote speaker. So ask Kevin, anything you want to know about yeast, and he's your man.
Kevin, I'm going to get this, Verstreppen.
Perfect.
Beautiful. Some of my family, I'm Italian, but some of my mother's family are from Belgium, so I have that in my blood, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, you probably do. And you like beer, right?
Yeah, Belgian beer, Billy. I mean, it's been a huge thing, and I want to get Vinny to talk more about that. But explain how you became who you are and the yeast expert.
That's a good one. I always was supposed to become a doctor, and then somewhere I got distracted by alcohol, I guess.
No, really. Didn't we all?
I if you really want to know the story, I wanted to go abroad for my master's thesis. I ended up in South Africa in the lab for wine biotechnology run by Saki Pretorius at the time, who's now in Australia. Anyway, and so it's where I first started working on yeast. Liked it way better than working on human cells, and then discovered they make wine and beer and all kinds of things. Went back to Belgium, did my PhD on beer flavor aroma.
Wow.
And I actually lived in the States for 6-7 years in Boston. Continued to study yeast first at MIT, then started my lab at Harvard, and then moved the lab back to Belgium. That was the biggest brain drain ever from the US to Belgium, because we took like 5 people from Boston back to Leuven, and we've been there since 2009 now. Yeah.
Let me ask you, Mark, first, and then Vinny, as far as how important yeast is in the making of craft beer.
Yeast is, you can't have beer without yeast. You can't have wine without yeast. And I once heard a talk by, I think Michael Pollan, this is the guy who wrote The Omnivore's Dilemma, is that his name?
Yep.
And he gave a talk at one of the brewing things about how important yeast was, and that his conclusion was that yeast are much smarter than people, because they have used people to propagate yeast throughout the world, take them everywhere, and take care of them. And they're running us. We aren't running them. What do you think about that?
Yeah, that's a good one. It's one of the things we're also interested in, not in that respect, but we're looking at how humans have domesticated yeast, meaning everybody knows we've domesticated dogs and cattle and livestock and some of our crops, right? But we've done exactly the same with yeast. And you could also turn it around in a way. Yeast has definitely sort of used us to become more successful, and definitely there's way more yeast cells on the planet now because of humans. You could look at it both ways.
Sure. There's more yeast in a bottle of beer than the people on the planet, isn't there?
It depends on the bottle. But
Well, Vinny, talk about yeast in beer. Because we always hops and
malt.
Yeah,
hops are the sexy ingredient, and malt is kind of the equivalent to the grapes in that it's
but it wouldn't
different
be
animals.
Beer if not for the yeast.
I think yeast is the most important ingredient.
Really?
I do. And you get, and what's, sorry, Mark,
no,
what's,
go
what's
ahead,
forgotten,
go ahead.
And Kevin can go into this, is there's a lot of flavors that can be contributed to beer or wine from yeast.
Really?
Just by picking the strain, by the temperature. You know, maybe Kevin can talk a little bit more about that.
Please explain.
You don't want to hear me. You can have me on any day of the week.
One thing I'd like to have him comment on is, it wasn't that long ago they didn't know yeast was doing the fermenting. The Reinheitsgebot, is my understanding, did not include yeast. It was only water, barley, and hops. When was it? It was Pasteur, wasn't it, who actually discovered that yeast did the fermentation. Maybe you could tell us.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So there was this Dutch guy first, Antonie van Leeuwenhoek, who made the first microscopes, although they didn't look like microscopes. But he observed yeast cells, and nobody believed him. They actually sent people from England to see that he wasn't totally crazy, and then when they looked through his microscopes, they actually had to admit that they saw these small bubbles, and they were multiplying. And
that was yeast?
That was yeast. So he was the first guy to see yeast, but then he took the secret for his microscopes into his grave. It's an interesting story. He always claimed they were very difficult to make, but in reality were extremely easy. He made thousands of them. But he didn't tell anybody. I mean, he was Dutch, right? I'm from Belgium, okay? Yeah.
That's a Belgian reference. Yeah, yeah. They tell you a little bit. Not everything, though.
Anyway, so, and then you're absolutely right, Pasteur sort of took it back up and really proved that the yeast cells were the engine of beer brewing, or are the engine of beer brewing. Without yeast, you don't get the alcohol, you don't get the carbon dioxide, and as we discovered later also, they're making quite a few flavors, as Vinny was saying.
Yeah, Vinny was talking about that. I can't imagine different flavors of yeast. Talk about that. I mean, I don't get it.
So it's not like the yeast itself necessarily, it's not like you're tasting the yeast, but the yeast is making substances, like it's making alcohol and carbon dioxide. It's making a few other products at much lower quantities. They don't get you drunk, but you can taste them. And funnily enough, some of them are exactly the same as the substances that plants or fruits make, and that, for example, the substance that makes banana smell of banana, isoamyl acetate, yeast also makes.
Do they, these brewers, add stuff to the yeast, yeast for the flavors, different flavors, or?
No, no, yeast just does it when it's eating its sugar and it's making beer. It's kind enough to also throw in some flavors for us.
Wow.
And unfortunately, it can throw in some flavors we don't want. So brewers then have to take control of their brewery and the fermentation temperatures and whatnot. And you referenced the microscope. When I started brewing, I didn't have a science background at all, but Fritz Maytag, who I worked for, it loved science. And so we had microscopes at our brewery. And it's extremely easy to see yeast in the microscope, especially compared to bacteria. And you can watch them multiply. And great. I mean, it's just a fantastic world going on there.
Absolutely, yeah, it's really fascinating, and yeah, we love to work with them, and they smell way better than bacteria as well, so it's a perfect job, really.
Yeah.
Wow.
How many yeasts do you have at your at Leuven, at your lab?
So in the lab, we're holding around 200,000 yeasts or so at
whoa!
At minus 80.
200,000?
But no,
that's how many people are listening to this show right now.
And, really?
Yeah.
There's that many?
Yeah. All right. 100,098. Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. So we have quite a few, but only, let's say, 2,000 or so are really beer yeast that would make a decent beer. So many of them are yeast that we've collected or gotten from friends, so they don't necessarily make a good beer. But yeah, we have quite a few different yeasts.
What about wine? Can you talk at all about the yeast for wine? And then that's mm-hmm. a big deal too.
Absolutely. It's a bit similar. I think in wine, the role of yeast is maybe more underestimated than in beer, because, of course, you have also a lot of fruity notes coming
sure.
from the grapes. And
there's
in beer,
so much
all the fruit has to come from the hops and the
right,
yeast. So, yeah, no, it's quite incredible. And they can be incredibly different. So that's the important part. They're all the same species or a few species, but they're way more different than people. You compare it also on the genetic scale. We do a lot of genetics. So we know precisely where they belong. We have the family tree of yeast, if you want. We know, you know, who's brother and sister and nephew and cousin and sort of not really related. And if you then make... If you make beer starting from the same word, the same base product, just using different yeast, so all the same ingredients, only changing yeast, you can get extremely different beers, as these guys know better than I do.
And Vinny, I mean, as far as all the years as a brewmaster and the whole Russian River thing, when you're making all these beers, and I think I kind of asked you this earlier, but talk about it again as far as yeast.
Yeah, so you have to be extremely clean. So, the you know, we're in wine country, so we want to make comparisons to wine. It's easy. Most people do know wine more than beer. But, you know, with wine, you have higher alcohol, so that protects the wine from bacteria because the alcohol will protect it.
Sure.
You've got high acidity, and wineries use sulfites to protect the wine also. Beer is everything opposite of that. We're lower in alcohol, our pH isn't as acidic, and we don't use sulfites other than the little bit that maybe certain yeasts kick out. So technically, brewers often have to be more clean than a winery, and you often have wineries that are doing native yeast fermentation and whatnot, and they can get away with it.
But when you're brewing something, and I'm not going to get into Pliny the Younger or Elder at this point, but anything that you guys are brewing, all the great stuff from Russian River, how do you deal with the yeast? I mean, what do you do?
We have multiple strains that we use, and we have to be, you know, really careful to not mix them up and whatnot. But yeah, there's certain beers, there are certain yeasts that we know we'll make certain beers. So, like, you know, but we often have a lot of beers that have the same yeast, and then we do manipulate other ingredients, but temperature comes in big time.
Really?
For us, you know, if you go to either of our restaurants, it's the right side of the chalkboard is our Belgian-inspired beers and our sour barrel-aged beers, and those are probably the most yeast-driven beers that we do. There's spontaneous fermented beers from wild yeast from the air in Sonoma County. There's Belgian yeast. There's sub-strains of Belgian yeast from a style called Saison that we can ferment into quite warm temperatures.
We talked about Saison a lot.
Yeah. So the yeast ends up being a big component. Wit beer, you know, white beer, Belgian white beer, that's a special strain of yeast that gives a specific flavor that hangs out in the beer, so it's cloudy. You know, the hazy IPAs are all the rage right now with all the kids. It's a perfect segue to get off my lawn.
You punks, get off my lawn! I do that every day. Mark, talk about yeast in all the years at Anchor.
Well, when I started at Anchor, I mean, Fritz Maytag didn't have the ability, was trying to develop it to actually cultivate yeast, you know, and grow yeast from a single cell. It's really kind of interesting, Steve, because there's so many strains of yeast, and those usually come from a single cell that then's held aside and grows and grows and grows. But at that time, you had your choice of a lager yeast or a lager yeast or a bread yeast, which was an ale yeast. and that was it. Now there's labs here in America doing multiple kinds of yeasts and segregating these yeasts. I brought back a yeast from Estonia that White Labs grew for me, and we made in Estonia. And ale. Is your yeast lab, do you do commercially sell to other breweries who supply breweries?
So, no, we're not really in the business of providing small batches of yeast. We leave that to others. We really are a university lab, so research.
Ah, okay.
We do develop in partnership with brewers, but also biofuel companies. We try to make even better yeast. So we try to develop novel yeast by crossing them and sometimes manipulating them, not for the beer industry. So, we are creating new yeast that can do things that the existing yeast can't. But it's not like we're just selling them, or you could just send us an email like, hey, I want to have 5 liters of this yeast to start a brew.
Yeah, okay. And I'm sure there are companies in Belgium doing that, though.
Absolutely,
yeah. You'll supply the foundation yeast for, and they'll grow it up.
Yes. But yeah, we do sometimes work for yeast companies that then will commercialize the yeast that we make for them. Yeah. Often we work with the bigger breweries that come with specific demands. They want a new product, they want this and this flavor profile, or they want faster fermentation, make more money, right?
Yeah.
So we try to help them with that as well.
You know, one yeast you'll be interested in, there's a yeast been developed at the University of California that makes THC and CBD.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, bring some of that?
I'm smoking it right now.
You must be aware of that. Have you done any research in that area? Or?
So it's funny. So let's take a step back. Many people don't realize, most people know that you need yeast to make bread and beer and wine, right? But what many people don't know is that yeast is also a model organism for genetics. So many of the real breakthrough discoveries in biology and in medicine, and actually quite a few Nobel Prizes, have been handed out to people who only have yeast in their lab. Yeah. For example, the principle of cancer, believe it or not, was discovered in yeast cells. And the reason is, what you were mentioning earlier, yeast cells are not bacteria. They're fungi. They're much closer related to human cells. Actually, they're very similar to our cells.
Wow.
But simpler. And you can grow many of them. You can kill many of them. Nobody gives you trouble. Nobody cares. You can manipulate them in any way you want, mistreat them. And that means they're a perfect model organism to unravel really the basic secrets of life. I'm not saying you can test all your drugs in them. They're a little bit further away than, let's say, mice or monkeys. But to really discover the basic principles, it's a wonderful organism. And half of my lab, I have a pretty big lab, 35 people, and half of them have nothing to do with beer and wine for them. They're sort of the unhappy part of the lab. Just studying basic biology using yeast. Yeah.
All right, it's the Drive Hop Monk Brouhaha. We have a yeast expert from Belgium, Kevin Verstrepan. And Vinny Chilerzo is here because he's a big fan of Kevin. Vinny from, of course, Russian River Brewing. Mark?
Yes, I wanted to talk just a minute about how tough yeast are, that they can survive a personal diet, 9 Gs. A yeast will survive 20,000 Gs out of a centrifuge, and they'll survive at the bottom of the ocean for 900 years.
Wow.
When they're really, please comment on it.
Yeah, they're actually, we think that they're primitive organisms, but in a way they're way stronger and smarter than we are. Yeah, you're absolutely right. They can survive also starvation. They have this trick called sporulation, so it's a bit like plants making seeds. They can turn themselves into spores, and they become very resistant, just like a seed can be dormant and dried. And so that's one of the tricks that yeast has. Also, they're surrounded by a pretty strong cell wall, so they have sort of their armor that protects them against the forces that we use in centrifuges. So it's perfect. It's really God's gift to humankind, made it really robust. Yeah. We can treat it, mistreat it, and
I've never thought about yeast.
Oh, yeah. Believe me. It's an important part of your life.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
And they're so easy to see in a microscope. You get a 40-power microscope. You can watch them grow and see their little bud scars. And it's even see the nucleus. I mean, it's pretty amazing stuff.
Vinny, are you getting any special secret yeast from Kevin?
We talked about it yesterday. I've got something in mind that I'm going to ask him.
I'm trying to convince a brewer to do a yeast series. Everybody does hop series here, so that you start from the same base material and change the hops.
Yeah.
It's more difficult and challenging to do the same and start from the same base material and make different beers, just change the yeast, but, you know, that would be so cool. So
we'll do it when we get our new pilot brewery in. I'm your man. Your brewer.
That's a deal.
So we're putting our little 5-barrel brewery in at the Windsor facility.
Oh, that's right.
We should be getting it in the next month or so, and then we'll get it installed by the end of the year and plumbed. And hey, speaking of Windsor, can I give a shameless plug? Natalie just texted me.
We're all about shameless plugs.
Natalie, I love you.
We have the Tiny Pit Bull Rescue Adoption this Sunday.
Oh, cool.
The Windsor facility from 1 to 4.
She was in not long ago talking about that, but yes, we wanted to tell everyone again.
So this Sunday up at our Windsor Brewery, 700 Mitchell Lane, 1 to 4. Pit Bull Rescue, lots of cute dogs, and if you're looking for a pit bull, come on up. So, do we have time for one more question for Kevin?
Yeah, screw it.
Talk about fruit flies, the fruit fly story.
Yeah, right. So the fruit fly story.
I hate fruit flies. I'm sorry. But
everybody does.
I know.
You haven't even heard the story yet.
The morning team would be eating bananas and stuff and fruit, and I'd come in the afternoon, and there's fruit flies all over the place. Okay,
they ruined my work. So that's
How does that work with the yeast?
So we were wondering why yeast make these aromas, right? I mean, it's not just to keep us happy. And so one day I left the lab and I had a few flasks out with different yeast, some of them making lots of aroma and the other ones were genetically modified, so they're not making any of these fruity aromas. And upstairs from us is a fruit fly lab. Fruit fly is another great model organism, especially for neurobiology. Long story short, I come back and, of course, all these fruit flies went to the fruity beer. In hindsight, it's a duh moment, of course. So you're like, oh, wait a minute, these yeast cells make these smells that are exactly the same as fruit to attract fruit flies. So we went on to actually show this in a more formal way with a neuroscientist, and we've really shown that, these aromas attract fruit flies, and the fruit flies then act as taxis, as vectors for the yeast. So that's the way they get around. They don't have wings, they don't have legs, so
yeast are running the world.
They're manipulating everyone. We've discovered it.
So how do you take care of that?
Sometimes
shotguns and you shoot the fruit flies. I don't know.
We shoot the fruit fly scientists and then the problem is gone. No, they can get pretty annoying, but we're okay. Yeah, we're fine. We have sterile cabinets and everything, so we're good.
Any last thoughts, Vinny?
No, other than it's like I said earlier, it's the most important ingredient in beer in my humble opinion, and it was amazing having some of the world experts on yeast in town this week and learning from them and making some new friends from Belgium, a country that Natalie and I love to visit.
The small pit bull thing is Sunday?
Sunday, 1 o'clock.
Can you and or Natalie come in tomorrow quickly to just let remind everyone?
I'm sure we can. Okay. Absolutely. All right, beautiful. Thank you.
All right. From Belgium, yeast expert Kevin Verstreppen. And this guy,
he's just been drinking. Stan.
Stan, you're with Kevin and taking care of him.
I will not eat it. Safely to home.
Dude, great to meet you. You get out here often, or is this your first time, or what?
No. I've been visiting, wine touring. I like wine as well. a few times before when I still lived in the U.S. And I like to come to the U.S. I mean, if lived here for 7 years, I really like it. It's like a second home. It's a bit of a homecoming for me. So,
beautiful. So next time you're here, please come in.
I will.
And we'll talk about yeast and everything else, you know, whatever.
Thanks so much for having me.
It's a pleasure to meet you, man. Yeah. Vinny, always.
Thank you.
Yeah, you and Nerdly. The old man needs to lie down. Natalie and Vinny from Russian River Brewing. Yeah, you should come in tomorrow. We'll talk more about the thing on Sunday.
Thanks.
Because there's a lot going on this weekend, as always.
Yep.
All right, guys.
Thanks for your time.
All right, guys. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
And we'll see you next time.